This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now move on, bi'iznillahi ta'ala, to hadith number 31 in the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah brings this hadith number 31. An Abil Abbas, سهل ابن سعد الساعدي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله دلني على عمل إذا عملته أحبني الله وأحبني الناس فقال ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله وازهد فيما عند الناس يحبك الناس رواه ابن ماجة وغيره بإسناد حسن. Hadith number 31, upon the authority of Abu al-Abbas, Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiyallahu ta'ala an. We will discuss his biography, insha'Allah. Ja'a rajulun ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man comes to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqal, ya Rasulullah. He said, ya Rasulullah, O the messenger of Allah. Dullani ala amalin. Guide me to an act. Direct me to some sort of act. Show me a certain act that I could do. إِذَا عَمِلْتُهُ أَحَبَّنِيَ اللَّهِ. That this act, if I did it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would love me. وَأَحَبَّنِيَ النَّاسِ. And the people will also love me. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذْهَدْ فِي الدُّنْيَا يُحِبَّكَ اللَّهِ. Brothers and sisters, listen carefully. A man comes to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is the man? Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi narrates that a man, we don't know who the man was, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people, the best of the best. Look at the question he's asking. Ya Rasulullah, guide me, tell me, teach me, direct me to something that if I did it, the people will love me and Allah would also love me. Subhanallah. Through these 40 ahadith, we've learned, brothers and sisters, the zeal of the companions, the enthusiasm of the sahaba. Many of us are very minimalist in our thinking. Give me the fara'id. You know, what do I have to do? What's the minimum that I have to pay in this and that, etc., etc. They were aiming for the stars. They were aiming for the stars, subhanallah. They were looking at the best case scenario, the best thing. Ya Rasulullah, what should I do to earn Allah's pleasure? Ya Rasulullah, what should I do to be with you in paradise? Ya Rasulullah, what should I do that will keep me away from Jahannam and enter me into paradise? Subhanallah, subhanallah. The companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered his question. What would give him the love of Allah and the love of people? What's the answer? Don't you want to be loved by Allah? O Ahmed, Sumayya, Ilyas, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Do you not want to be loved by Allah? Yes, you do. Excellent. What about you, Ahmed, Ilyas, Sumayya, Fatima? Do you want to be loved by the people? Do you want to be loved by the people? Who's giving the answer? Tom, Dick or Harry? Professor? Maulana? Sheikh? Peer? No! The Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving the answer. Questioner is a sahabi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving the answer. You ready for the answer? You want to know the answer? The answer from the mouth, the blessed mouth, the lips of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, izhad fi dunya yuhibbaka Allah, wazhad fima inda nas yuhibbaka nas. That have zuhd of this world. Have zuhd in this world and Allah will love you. What is zuhd? We'll discuss. Have zuhd in this world and Allah will love you. And have zuhd with regards to what people possess. Whatever is in the hands of the people, you have zuhd from that. And people will love you, subhanallah. Have this asceticism, Allah will love you. And have this asceticism, and the people will also love you. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the takhrij of this hadith. Hadith reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, the Mustadrak of Imam Al-Hakim, and by Imam Al-Bayhaqi and others. This hadith has issues in terms of its authenticity, and many of the ulama, many of the scholars, many of the muhaditheen are of the opinion that this hadith has great weakness in it. Number two, general comments related to this hadith. This hadith relates to the matter of zuhd. Asceticism, where You are not immersed in this dunya. You are not immersed in this dunya. I will touch more on that very soon. Who's the narrator? Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi. He was from the Khazraj, who were from the Ansar, the people of Medina al-Munawwara. His name was Hazan. What does Hazan mean? Hazan means grief. Hazan means sadness. You all know the famous book, La Tahzan. Don't grieve. Don't grieve. Don't be in a state of sadness. Don't be sad. Rather, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when realized that this man's name was Hazan, said to him, no, this name should be changed. Why? Because everybody has a share of their name. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named him Sahal. Named him Sahl, which means ease. Walhamdulillah. No more are you sad, rather you are ease. You are easygoing. Walhamdulillah. He passed away in the year 91 AH and he narrated 188 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The explanation of this hadith, the sharh of this hadith. Brothers and sisters, this hadith touches upon the matter of zuhd. To have zuhd in this world. If you have zuhd in this world, Allah will love you. And you have zuhd in relation to what people have, the possessions of people, the wealth of people, the possessions, the wealth, the car, the house, the business, the money of the people. If you have zuhd with regards to all of that that they own, that they have in their hands, then they will also love you. Subhanallah. So if you want the love of Allah, have zuhd in this dunya. If you want the love of people, have zuhd from what the people have. We find in the noble Quran so many verses. So many verses Allah mentions who He loves. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves those who are the muhsinin, the ones who do good. Allah loves the mutawakkilin, those who have reliance upon Him. Allah loves the muqsitin, those who are just. Allah loves the sabirin, those who have patience, subhanallah. Wallahu yuhibbul muttaqin. Allah loves the muttaqin. Yuhibbul mutatahirin. Allah loves those who are always in a state of purity, those who are pure. Wallahu yuhibbul tawabin. Allah loves those who always make tawbah, subhanallah. Many, many verses in the Quran, Allah makes it explicit. Those who He loves. So, you want Allah to love you? You want Allah to love you? Then be from amongst them. Be from amongst them. Love of this people, while you have zuhd with regards to what people have in their hands. Remember, zuhd, asceticism, does not mean that you abandon this dunya. You find many, many stories that there was this guy and he lived in the jungles and he left all of his family and he left all of his wealth and he just started wandering in the jungles, etc. Is that something which the Quran and the Sunnah invites us towards? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You find stories of certain person, you know, he doesn't want to get married and he purposefully does not want to get married. Why? Because he feels that this would, affect his piety. Allahu musta'an. He does not want to work. He says, no, I got tawakkul on Allah. In reality, that's not the tawakkul which the Quran and the Sunnah teaches us. He doesn't want to eat, the food that people eat, wants to stay away from bathing. Allahumma musta'an. You look at him, he's very, very shabby. His hair is here, there, and everywhere, unkempt. You find that his clothing is very, very filthy. And he does this purposefully. Why? He says, no, because I'm concentrating on the hereafter. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The best one who walked the face of this earth, the biggest zahid, was the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And look at how many times he married. He slept at night. He stood up in prayer. He ate. He fasted. He broke his fast. He was not an example of extremism. Allahu musta'an. We find, for example, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Hubbiba ilayya min dunyakum an-nisa'u wa tib. That the love of this matter has been put into my heart, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from amongst the matters of this dunya, and nisa wa tib, woman and perfume, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked. Wa ju'i, but then he makes the difference. Wa ju'ilat qurratu 'aini as-salah, and then the coolness of my eyes, the matter of the salah, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, zuhd does not mean that you abandon the dunya. Zuhd does not mean that you stop working for your needs, but rather, zuhd is first and foremost an action of the heart. First and foremost, it's an action of the heart. Not your clothing, not your belongings, not your house. First and foremost, it's an action of the heart. How? That it does not mean that you do not own anything. It does not mean that you don't own anything of this dunya, but rather zuhd is that nothing owns you of this dunya. That this dunya does not own you, your business does not own you, your car does not own you, your clothing does not own you, your shoe does not own you, your cell phone does not own you. Subhanallah, as many of the ulama state, zuhd is not that you do not own anything, rather you should own. But the opposite, nothing should own you in terms of the matters of this dunya. And as others said, that the dunya should be in your hand and not in your heart. If it's in your hand, comes easy, goes easy, khair and barakah, whatever. But it should not be in your heart, subhanallah, Allahu musta'an. You find, brothers and sisters, the story of Isa alayhi salam, that one day Isa alayhi salam's walking with this student. The student wanted to join him and he says, no khair, inshallah, no problem, you can come with me. And so they're walking, and then Isa alayhi salam has these three rolls and gives it to the student that, my murid, you know, you look after these three rolls. And they continue on this journey, and then they stop somewhere to eat. And Isa alayhi salam says, one roll for you, one roll for me, and where's the third roll? So the guy says, I don't know what happened to the third roll. Wallahi, I don't know. Where's the third roll? I don't know. So he left it at that. They continued the journey. Certain individuals were ill. Isa alayhi salam cured them. Then Isa asked this murid, the student, you've seen this miracle. Tell me, what happened to the third roll? Yeah, wallahi, I don't know. I don't know. Khair, continued the journey. Isa alayhi salam, another miracle, walked over water, cured the leper, brought somebody's sight back, restored their sight. The man sees one miracle after the other. Isa alayhi salam asks him, now tell me, after you've seen this, what has happened to the third roll? Wallahi, I don't know, I didn't take it, I didn't know. He gives his excuses, continued the journey, until eventually they come to an area where they find three gold bars lying on the side of the road. Three gold bars. Isa alayhi salam says to him, the one gold bar is for me, one gold bar is for you, and the third one is for the one who knows what happened to the third roll. So then the guy, he wants the gold, obviously. He said, wallah, you know, I was hungry, and you know, at the beginning of the journey, I ate the roll, and I'm sorry, I lied to you throughout the journey. Isa alayhi salam says to him, all three bars of gold, you can keep them, but we have to part. You cannot be with me any longer. And Isa alayhi salam left him. Subhanallah. This guy here, while busy picking up those gold bars, three bandits pounce upon him. They see him, they find him, they kill him. And then they all sit down and they say, one bar of gold for each one of us. Before we leave, what we should do is, one of us should go to town, get buy some food, and then come back with the food, and then we all leave together. And so one of them goes, he goes to buy the food. This guy, he goes to buy the food, and after eating his share of the food, he decides, you know what? I will poison this food. So when I take it back, my two friends, my two partners, they will eat from this poison food, they will die. I will take all three gold bars. And the other two are plotting and planning while he's away, that when this guy who went to buy the food comes back, we will pounce upon him, we'll kill him, and we will share 1.5 bars, 1.5 bars. Everybody is plotting and planning. Allahu musta'an. The guy comes back with the food. Before he could say anything, they pounce upon him, they kill him. And they say, well, 3 bars, 1.5 for you, 1.5 for me. And they say, well, let's sit down and eat before we leave. They sit down, they begin eating. Soon after, they fall down dead, because the food was poisoned. Allahu musta'an, Allahu musta'an. The next day, Isa alayhi salam is passing by. What does he see? He sees the three gold bars stationed at the same place as they were yesterday. They haven't even moved as yet. His former murid is lying down dead. The three bandits who attacked him and killed him, they are all lying down dead. One of them was killed, the other two were poisoned. 4 bodies around the three gold bars. Isa alayhi salam says to his new followers, he says, this is the example of this dunya. This is the example of the dunya. You will fight, you will kill, you will lie, you will deceive for it. But at the end, nobody's gonna take it. You will leave, you will die, but it will remain, subhanallah. Allahu musta'an, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah, forget your gold, forget your wealth, forget whatever. You yourself are going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That scholar walking with his students, they pass by these dogs playing, they're playing with one another. The dogs are all nice and happy. He comes back half an hour later, passing by those same dogs, and he finds that there's a piece of meat that they are all fighting over. They are barking at each other, they are biting each other. Why? Because each dog wants that piece of flesh, the piece of meat for itself. He says to them, this is the example of the dunya. When the dunya does not come between you, you are like one happy family, like the dogs previously, playing with one another, all are happy, everything's fine, everything's calm. But when the dunya comes before you, then you will bite, you will lash out at each other, you will fight, you will flee, you will run from one another. Allahu musta'an, Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. One of the scholars, one of the Sahaba, he said, "Ma abad hadiyakum min hadi nabiyyikum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu kana azhad an-nas fi dunya wa antum arghabu an-nas fiha." He says that, how far are many of you from the example of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was the person with regards to this dunya, he had the most zuhd. He had the most zuhd with regards to this dunya. He was the highest of the ascetics when it came to this matter of the dunya. But you people want it more than anyone else. He had a high level of zuhd when it came to the dunya, and you people want it and you desire for it like nothing else. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. With regards to the matter of zuhd, we find that the ulama state that the first aspect is to realize that all provision and sustenance and rizq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not simply your acts or your work or your, you know, fantastic mind, mashallah, and your skill. No, everything was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever was meant for you will come to you. Whatever was not meant for you would never ever touch you. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we all came with a credit in this dunya. The amount of oxygen we would take, the amount of risk we will get, the amount of rice we will eat, the amount of minutes and seconds we will be alive in this dunya, we all have the set credit. We have the set amount. Nobody is going to get extra and nobody is going to get less. Nobody is going to be done down. Allahu musta'an. The first aspect, to realize that everything, provision, sustenance, etc. is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, that nobody will get more, nobody is going to get less than their provision. And the second aspect is, as Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he said, zuhd with respect to this dunya is where one, if one is blessed with something, one gives thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if one is tried, then one is patient. Sufyan ibn Uyayna says, the great scholar of the Tabi'een, he says, zuhud with regards to this dunya is when one is blessed with something, one has patience and gives thanks to Allah. And when one is tried and tested, one is patient. And what is the example of this dunya? Except like the example of the traveler, subhanallah. This traveler, you are traveling to Uganda. You have some business meeting in Uganda. Do you take your entire family with you? Do you take all of your bank accounts with you? Do you take all of your safety deposits with you? Do you take, the carpet from the house with you? Do you take your vehicle with you? No, you don't. Why? Because this is a temporary journey. You don't plan to set up shop in Uganda. You are going to come back. It's a temporary journey. Similar to that, brothers and sisters, our journey in this dunya. And subhanallah, with Uganda, you know when you're going to come back. You have a return flight. With regards to this dunya, we don't know when we're going to leave. We don't know when we're going to go, subhanallah. In fact, our destination, what destination are we headed to? Is it paradise or is it not? Allahu musta'an. Bahlul was this court, like clown. And the caliph at the time, Harun al-Rashid, because Bahlul would make fun of himself and people would laugh at him, etc., etc. Harun al-Rashid gave him the stick and says to him, Bahlul, this stick is for you. But if you ever find a bigger idiot than yourself, a bigger fool than yourself, then you give the stick to him. So Bahlul took the stick and he left. Some years later, Bahlul comes and Harun al-Rashid, the Abbasid caliph at the time, he's on his deathbed. Bahlul visits him. He says, Ya Khalifa, how are you, etc. Khalifa says, Ya Bahlul, I'm worried, Bahlul. Why are you worried? What are you worried about, Ya Khalifa? He says, Bahlul, I'm going on this journey and I don't know what's going to be my situation. I do not have enough of provision for this journey. Bahlul says, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, when are you coming back from this journey? He says, Ya Bahlul, this journey, nobody's going to come back from this journey. You go on this journey, you don't come back, there's no return. Ya Bahlul, there's no return from this journey. Then Bahlul says to him, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, I'm sure you've taken a lot of provision. I'm sure you've sent your soldiers ahead of you. I'm sure you made a lot of preparation. So this journey, wherever you're headed, it's going to be comfortable for you. Ya Bahlul, this journey, you can't send your soldiers before you. You're unable to send your servants. You don't know what situation you're going to be in, what destination you're going to be in, etc. I don't know what's going to happen to me, O Bahlul. Bahlul says, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, I'm sure your cooks have gone ahead. I'm sure your servants... Bahlul, this is a different journey, Ya Bahlul. The zad of this journey, the provisions for this journey are different. Bahlul brings the stick and he gives it to Harun al-Rashid. What is this, Bahlul? Amirul Mu'mineen, many years ago, you gave me the stick and you said to me, I should give it to the person who is a bigger fool than myself. And I found him today. What do you mean, Ya Bahlul? Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, when you went down the road, you sent your servants ahead. When you went to the next town, you sent your soldiers ahead. You sent your cooks ahead. Your fancy pillows were sent ahead. Your luxurious tent was sent ahead. All of your soldiers and your army and all of this here, the perfume, all of this was sent ahead for these small journeys down the road that you knew you're going to come back from. But this journey to the hereafter, which you say that you are not going to come back from, this journey, what preparation have you made? You say that you've not made enough of preparation. Then in reality, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, you are the bigger fool. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the reality of this life. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, have zuhd in this dunya, Allah would love you, and have zuhd from the possessions of people, and they will also love you. We find in the Noble Quran, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. And they prefer this dunya over the hereafter, but the hereafter is better for them. We find that zuhd covers many aspects. Zuhd from shirk, you do not involve yourself in shirk. Zuhd from sin, zuhd from haram, zuhd from ghiba and namima and backbiting. We find, for example, Abu Safwan al-Ra'ini, he mentions that zuhd for only the dunya, then this is not really a matter of positivity. Where a person says, you know what, I want to be a zahid. I don't want this of the dunya or that of the dunya. Why? Because it gives me hassles in the dunya and stuff like this. He says this here is not necessarily positive. But where a person has zuhd in this dunya, due to the hereafter, due to the reward in the hereafter, for a better hereafter, then this here is something which is positive. For example, look at Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was a zahid, no doubt. Did he have wealth? He had a lot of wealth. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was an extremely rich man. but they used it in good. And so for the hereafter, it would benefit them. For the hereafter, it would benefit them. They spent of this dunya, they used this dunya in building the hereafter, and that was better for them. Walhamdulillah. We find, for example, the one who wants what others have. Then people are afraid. You know, you've come to my organization and you're asking this and my donor, and you're asking me where I bought this and you're asking me where I bought that. You're asking me about the money I have and, you know, what flight my daughter is taking and what university and what she's studying. And, you know, people are afraid. People think you ask all of these questions, you know, because you want their wealth, because you want to be like them, because you want to take it from under their feet. Subhanallah. But when people are safe, when people feel that, you know what, you're not interested in what they have, you don't want their wealth, you don't you're not scheming to get what they have, etc., then people love you. So the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, have zuhd in this dunya, and people have zuhd in this dunya, and Allah would love you. Have zuhd with regards to what people possess, then they will also love you, subhanAllah. And the one who is always greedy, he wants this and he wants that and he wants that, in reality, this person is the poorest of people. Even if he has, in reality, he doesn't have. He has millions, but because he is greedy, because he does not have contentment, he in reality is poor. Allah musta'an. Look at the ambitions of the Sahaba through these ahadith. They were always asking about, they were always asking about the stars. Ya Rasulullah, what can I do? Allah would love me. Ya Rasulullah, tell me, how can I enter into paradise? I want to be in your company on Yawm al-Qiyamah, etc., etc. They had high aspirations. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. This covers hadith number 31. Hadith number 31 was narrated by Ibn Majah. Ibn Majah, his full name, Abu Abdullah Muhammad Ibn Yazid al-Rib'i al-Qizwini. He was born in the year 209. Famous books, Sunan Ibn Majah. But Sunan Ibn Majah is the sixth of the famous six books of ahadith. And it is the book of hadith from those six that contains the most number of weak narrations in them. We find that that's why some ulama state the famous six books of ahadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and some do not include Ibn Majah. Some include Sunan Ad-Darimi. Sunan Ad-Darimi. And others, they state Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and the Muwatta of Imam Malik. Muwatta of Imam Malik. But the famous six, whenever, usually when people talk about the six famous books of ahadith, then generally most of them would include the Sunan of Ibn Majah. You also find that sometimes some would call it the Sahih Sitta. In reality, that term Sahih Sitta doesn't really stand the test of time. Yes, the Sahihain, Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, fantastic, no issue there. But the other four, the proper terminology would be the Sunan. The Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, al-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah, and the Kutub al-Sitta, the famous six books of ahadith. Why not Sahih Sitta? Because not every hadith, especially in the Sunan of Ibn Majah and others, not every one of them are sahih, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. With that, we conclude tonight's session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting in our scales of good deeds. Yawma la yanfa'u malu illa banun illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. On that day when nobody's wealth and health and family will be able to avail them, except the one who comes to Allah with a heart which was sound. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us zuhd in this dunya. We find that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says from amongst the best definitions of zuhd was the definition of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, tark ma la yanfa'u fi al-akhirah, that to leave that which will not benefit you in the hereafter. To leave in this dunya that which will not benefit you in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the zahideen. And as we said, zuhd does not mean that you own nothing, but rather that nothing owns you. We find that Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, beautiful statements from him. He says that you chase the dunya and its pleasures when the dunya was punishment for Adam alayhi salam. This dunya, you are hankering after it and you are so sad when you lost something, etc., etc. Morning, evening, night, dunya, dunya, dunya. But you forget that this dunya was a place of punishment for our father, Adam alayhi salam. We found that great scholar Fudail ibn Iyad, he says, the sign of not being attached, the sign of having zuhud in this world and to people is that you do not love people praising you and you do not worry about their criticisms. You don't have this love, oh, people must praise me, mashallah. We find that one of the scholars he mentions recently, if for example you find a program, an event, and you know, your name was not mentioned. Your name was not mentioned, and you know, this didn't go down well with you, right? You find that, you know, you find you are much more eager, mashallah. You have a lot of energy when your name is involved and your name's mentioned in the poster and the pamphlet or whatever it might be. Your name's mentioned, you got more eager, mashallah. Much more eager, walhamdulillah. But when you are in the shadows, you don't find that eagerness there. The scholar, he says, then in reality, look in your heart, because there's a small idol there that you are worshipping. That idol of name, that idol of fame, Allah musta'an. Fudail ibn Iyad, he says, that true zuhud is that when people praise you, it doesn't affect you. Their criticisms also doesn't really bother you, right? And if you were able to avoid being known to the people, and it is not to be held against you that you are unknown. No issue if you are unknown. We find that Hassan al-Basri, he also said, the life of this world distracts and it preoccupies the heart and the body. But zuhd, not giving too much importance to all of this, it gives rest to the heart and the body. Verily, Allah will ask us about our halal. Allah will ask us about the halal that we enjoyed in this dunya. So what do you think about the haram? Allah is going to question me, you, Ahmed, Ilyas, Daniel, and everybody else about the halal that they enjoyed in this dunya. What do you think about the questions about the haram? Allah musta'an. Hassan al-Basri, he also mentions, or rather Hassan ibn Salih, he mentions that I awake some days. I wake up in the morning some days and I only have one dirham, only one dirham. But I feel like I possess the entire world. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And lastly, brothers and sisters, one of the scholars, this great Tabi'i scholar, Hassan al-Basri, he said that the secret with regards to zuhr, the secret with regards to zuhd, masir zuhduka fi dunya ya imam. They asked him, what's the secret of your zuhd in this dunya? He says, four matters. What's those four matters? Alimtu anna rizqi la ya'khudhuhu ghayri fatma'anna qalbi. That I understand and I realize that my rizq, nobody else is going to take it, and so my heart is content. Subhanallah. My rizq, nobody else in this dunya is going to take away my rizq, and so my heart is content. Wa alimtu anna ilmi لا يقوم به أن عملي لا يقوم به غيري فاشتغلت به وحدي. And I know that my actions, nobody else is going to do my actions. Nobody else is going to do actions for me. Nobody else is going to do actions for me. And so I busy myself with my own actions. وأن الله مطلع. And the last one, or the third one, and I understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَيَّ. Allah is watching me. فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ أَنْ يَرَانِي عَلَى مَعْصِيَةٍ. And I am ashamed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees me involved in sin. I know that my rizq, nobody is going to take it, so my heart is at peace. I know that nobody is going to do actions for me, and so I need to busy myself with myself. I know that Allah is watching me, and so I'm ashamed for Allah to see me while I'm involved in sin. And number four, أَنَّ الْمَوْتْ يَنْتَظِرُنِي. And I know and I understand that maut is waiting for me. Death is waiting for me. And so I busy myself. أَعْدَدْتُ أَزَّادْ لِلِقَاءِ رَبِّي. And so I busy myself with my provision for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting in our scales of good deeds. Until we meet again, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, hayyakumullah.